Okay, I'll call the meeting back to order. And Mr. Murphy, you can carry on, please.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I guess to start with, have we been kind of, I think we're focusing on capital. Obviously, we're focusing on the entire budget, but we can start maybe with capital? No? Okay. Operating. Okay, sorry. So you've all got copies of my operating budget there.
Page 102.
102. So obviously this year, being what it has been with COVID, there's been a lot more staff cleaning and requirements for staff to in order to operate our parks and now our facilities as we've entered the fall winter season. I think overall in the operating for 2021, that's really where the focus was in terms of any increases. You can see from on the curling side, and as you're all aware, we don't have a curling season starting this year, but it's the question marks, I guess, as to not knowing where things are going to go for 2021. I am anticipating that hopefully in the new year we are going to be, or at least at the end of 2021, we'll be having a curling season again. But I have reduced that operating budget to reflect basically half of what we normally put in, because we will not be having one for the remainder of this particular or at the beginning of the year. I don't know if there was any particular questions, but I mean, there was no real major increases. I know one maybe question area was the Riverfront Park. As you're aware, this past year we've completed that park, and we've added a fair size chunk of parkland that we're going to have to maintain in the spring and the summer. So that was maybe one of the areas where there was maybe more of an increase that you may see. It's hard to say how much more we're actually going to need, but there is going to be a lot more grass cutting, trimming, and cleaning up in that particular area now that we've developed that particular park. Other than that, there's small increases, but the main thing again in 2021 is the uncertainty with respect to the staffing costs. As we go into the new year, I'm not sure what our parks maintenance will look like this spring. Obviously this year we were fortunate enough to open things up, but we had that extra manpower and staffing that we had to do obviously listening to the health unit guidelines and having to clean every 2 hours. There was more manpower needed in order to clean. So we've accounted for some of that as well, moving ahead.
Any questions so far, Councillor Holmes?
Thank you. I noticed there's a huge increase in insurance. Was there a reason for that?
Rhonda, do you have anything on the insurance side of things?
So the insurance has been increased over the 2020 actual number. Again, I have a lot of highlights in my binder, as I mentioned earlier, that these are all areas that I'm going to be reviewing when I look at trend data and what's historically going on, and then looking at where we are in 2020 and making sure that those operating numbers make sense. So I have to do that entire exercise now for the whole budget, because now I have September's figures as well, so I've got a little bit more actual data to reference.
Could you comment on a little bit about the differences in cleaning due to COVID, vehicles, staff in the arenas, extra staff, or how you plan on doing that?
Yes, definitely. So I guess going back to the beginning of the summer, when we opened up our splash pad and our boat launches and other areas that we always have outdoor portable toilets, before we went ahead and opened anything, we checked with the health unit, and the stipulation was cleaning had to be done every 2 hours. So we ensured that we had the staffing components in place, that we were able to do that, because we couldn't typically open anything in proper fashion without the proper cleaning. So we basically had our summer student this year. That was their role, was to, when they reported to work, they got in one of the vehicles and they had their checkpoints and they went to all the boat launches, the splash pad, the park in Pakenham, the Ball Diamond. We kept our washroom facility open there, and they continued to clean every 2 hours. And that took place right, I guess, May, right through until just the end of September. And now we've officially closed everything up. And as of yesterday, we've winterized all our washroom, splash pad, and everything. So that turns into, so when one season ends, the next one begins, and we are now in full operation at the arenas. And again, we have certain protocols in place. When groups are coming in, they're screened, they're signing in, and we are cleaning washrooms every 2 hours. The change rooms, when one group is out of the change room and leave the facility, we have staff that go in and clean everything down, as well as the bleacher area, because we are allowing some parents. We have our bubble limit, and as long as the group stays within their bubble, parents, some can come in and sit in the bleachers, so there's cleaning that takes place there. And basically what that's resulted in is we've had to bring in one extra staff person in Almont per shift, and the same thing in Pakenham, so there's two additional staff people. And I can tell you, I was there last night. I'm there quite a lot during the week in the evenings, and everything has been running very well. With respect to that, people are so far are abiding by the rules and doing what they have to do. So our lobby areas are not open for the public, so we don't have to clean there, but our washroom, bleachers, change rooms, they all have to be, or if there is a group in the upper hall, we don't have very many rentals, but there are a few groups that are in, cleaning has to be done regularly there when a group leaves.
Thank you. Councillor Holmes?
So just to confirm that the extra time needed for the cleaning, will that be covered out of some of the COVID money?
Yes, it will.
Yes, thank you. That just answered my question, because it's specific to items 55 and 56 and 66 and 67, right? That's the expenses that will be captured specifically, the COVID expenses?
Yep. Yeah, that would reflect in there,
great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just want to add a point there that as long as I have COVID money to carry forward, I'm anticipating that I will. It is all going to depend on how 2020 year end plays out, particularly with regard to the daycare and additional revenue losses that are ongoing. At this point in time, I do feel that there will be enough to carry forward to address the additional expenditures in the 2021 budget that have so far been identified to me.
Any more questions? Okay, carry on.
So I guess that brings us now to the capital side of things for recreation. And I think that's on page 21 in your files or your folders. So to begin with, just to go through everything line by line, as I mentioned earlier, this year was a big year with respect to the Riverfront Estate Parkland, where we were fortunate enough to get that park development completed. This year I have, one of the things that we didn't do this year and would like to do is add some benches into that particular park, just to finish everything off. So that was the first line item. And obviously when you're putting in a bench, it's not just a matter of putting the bench in, but you've got to put a slab underneath the bench and then install the bench after that. So there is a little bit of money for a few benches that we should be able to put in there with that. I guess I'll just go through them, and if there's questions, you can ask or ask them at the end. Second line being the Ramsey Ward soccer field. These are the soccer fields that we have, the Appleton soccer fields. There is, in the parking lot, for any of you that may have been out that way, we have a wooden fence that is up, and that kind of segregates the playing fields from the parking lot. It's been there for quite some time now, and it's in need of some repair. So we've allocated some money in there to change the fencing. in that particular area. Sneddon Casey Ball Field. This year, I know we got off to a slow start and a later start, but baseball, there was actually some baseball that was played, and one of the leagues has contacted me, and they did use the Sneddon Casey Ball Diamond this year, which was nice to see. So for some more higher-end baseball, I guess you could say, for the older kids. And that field hasn't been used regularly over the years, and the anticipation now is that we'd like to try and get it being used again. So there is some work that would have to be done to the fencing area, as well as some lighting, potentially some lighting upgrades that we'd like to do to the ball diamond. Now, it was still used, but I mean, if we're going to see some increased usage, we should clean the area up to make sure it's in working condition. Trees for parks. We put this in every year. There's a certain amount that we put into the budget, and this is basically used for every year, where there's always some certain trees that have to come down, whether they're dead trees or work that has to be done with respect to trees in parks, that we have to put some money in for every year to do cleanup or whatnot, and that's where that money is to be allocated and spent this year in 2021. Municipal dog park. As you're probably all aware, there has been some discussion with respect to this. We were hoping to have it a little bit earlier in the year, but then COVID hit, and we weren't able to address it as quickly as we wanted to. But we have had some discussions, and obviously council has instructed our Parks and Rec committee to look at it again, have some public consultation and whatnot. I'm not certain where all that is going to go. Our first meeting with the with our Parks and Rec Advisory Committee is the end of this month, so it is on the agenda to have some discussion with respect to it. But I did want to earmark it as something potentially that could happen in 2021. But again, that's why that money was put in there, as we're just anticipating things will happen. But we haven't been able to get into that discussion at this point in time.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Yes, that was my question. Seeing we haven't had a discussion about this dog park, should it be in the budget?
Well, I don't know where the discussion's going to lead us. My personal opinion is, you know, does it have to happen in 2021? Probably not. But depends who, I guess, you talk to. I thought it would be wise to earmark it in there, depending on where the discussion leads. And if we're able to find a place, a location, et cetera, which is going to take some time, so that may be a potential. I mean, I think it's important that we continue the discussions on it for sure and figure out where it's going. That's why that money was put in.
Mayor Lowry, is that good?
That's fine, thank you.
Mayor Lowry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I agree. I think those discussions need to continue on, and I think just because we're behind in those discussions because of COVID, I think including it in the budget at this time kind of presupposes where it's going to go.
Sure.
I'd like to make sure that we do have that full consultation and let's see where it goes before we start tagging it in the budget. I'd be more comfortable seeing it in a 2022 budget than a 2021, personally.
And mind you, if I can just say one thing, when we were starting this budget process, it was earlier in the game too, so things change, right? So I just wanted to earmark it. Waste receptacles for parks, I don't think I really have to go into that in much detail. We're always looking to replenish or add more. That seems to be an ongoing thing every year, and then some disappear over the year, and et cetera, et cetera. So we have to put some money aside to keep our parks with waste receptacles. Picnic tables for parks, that's another item. 2 years ago, we were able to secure some funding for that, and we were able to purchase some very, in my opinion, very good quality picnic tables. This year, the staff put them together and put them into the parks. And we received some really good comments. I'd like to continue that process and put more of these tables into the parks. It helps the overall park features, et cetera, and we need to take care of our parks. So that's why that money was put in there. Almont Arena door safety, fire safety. So this was something that came forward after discussions with our fire chief. It primarily focuses on an area in Almont underneath our bleachers. Currently, we use that area for storage and a lot of our chairs, tables for summer events, etc. Because we don't have a whole lot of storage space, has been placed there. In discussions with our fire chief, he did inform myself and Dan Cousineau that there was a regulation that should be abided by and that we should be cleaning up that area and putting in, basically tearing out some of the wooden wall features or roof features that are there and replacing with some fencing type of dividers and looking at a dry sprinkler system. Now, he would probably be able to give you more specifics on that whole system, but it was brought up that it has to be looked at and looked at immediately. This came up, I think it was February of this year. Obviously, our budget was passed, and I did inform him. I said, well, it'll have to be something that'll be discussed for 2021, and that's why that amount was put in there. The next item being LED light.
Mr. Murphy, Councillor Holmes.
Oh, sorry.
So in past years, have we had inspections of this area by
the fire
department?
Yes, we have.
And was this ever pointed out before?
Not to me, no.
So is there some new regulations that we need to know about?
I don't think it's a new regulation. That's to my understanding. Again, I'd probably have to get more of the fine details, I guess, from our fire chief. I don't think it's anything new, but it was pointed out to us this year, so that's why it's there.
So it is a significant amount of money, and I'd like more detail, please.
Councilor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. On the same topic, I see Calvin roof analysis. Is there a lot of that money's allocated for that? That poor old roof in the Almont Arena has been analyzed to death over the years. I just wonder, is there issues again?
No. Well, as you're probably aware of the Almont Arena, there's a couple of different roof areas, yeah. Right? The roof that we addressed 3-4 years ago is over the actual arena slab, and that is fine. We have another roof over the curling side of things, and there have been some issues with that that we've been trying to clean up and patch up and whatnot, and haven't had a whole lot of success. We've been able to, it's kind of a Band-Aid approach. So we're trying to look into that and fix that up a little bit as well. And that would have come from Mr. Cousineau when he did his inspection over there.
Mayor Lowry.
Sorry, Calvin, I just missed what you said. It's not over the slab that we've already dealt with. Where was this?
The curling ice, not the arena ice, because it's a different type of roof, but over the curling side
ice.
Of things.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Okay, for line item 109, the regulation, could I ask staff to provide that regulation to council for the underneath the arena stands?
Sure.
Thank you.
So moving along, unless there's any other questions on with respect to that. LED lighting in both Almont and Pakenham Arenas. Obviously, this is something that has been talked about for a couple of years now. We'd like to change all our light fixtures in the arenas and the curling side to LED. I think it's a lot more energy efficient, and there'll be some savings there. Now, my understanding is, I believe in 2021, there's going to be a little bit more of a study that was potentially going to happen this year, but obviously due to COVID, never took place. So there may be, if that study is to take place in 2021, this may potentially be something that could be moved after the study is completed and maybe the work done in 2022. But I'm not sure where that study has landed, so a lighting study, energy efficient.
Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Calvin, could you remind me of the report we had about 3 years ago, maybe 2 years ago, in reference to LED lighting, the payback? Do you recall what that figure was in time?
Are you referring to the one that Honeywell?
Yes, I believe it was. Yes.
I don't recall, but I can find out. I have the report in my office.
Okay.
Councillor Maiden.
I think Honeywell did an assessment of all the lights everywhere and recommended quite a number of things. That was sort of taken under consideration. They had offered to a plan to basically cost the municipality nothing, but what the plan was that Honeywell would manage the lighting infrastructure and everything.
Correct.
Over for X number of years. It was like a contract, and council at the time voted that down.
The cost was not nothing. The cost was actually very significant, and we didn't have the funds to move forward at the time. Honeywell's responsibility was management, but it was still our responsibility to pay for the actual work.
Yeah, I should correct myself. Honeywell's position was that it would basically pay for itself in cost savings.
We'd have to go back, I guess, and just check the actual report itself. But yeah, I know council at the time did not move forward with it. The next line item is exterior wall repair work at the Pakenham Arena. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago we did. We noticed there was some deterioration to the side wall facing the parking lot of the Pakenham Arena. So we had a study completed, and what came from that was a recommendation that obviously it be addressed within the next few years, which is where we've landed right now. In the meantime, the report did identify that we place some kind of a system over top of it, so to prevent it from deteriorating any further, which we did. We got that work done 2 years ago, but now it's time that we start looking at we certainly don't want the wall to deteriorate any further. We've got plans to get that work done, like the specifications are ready to go, but we do need the funding, obviously, to complete that work. Now, I can tell you, and this is just as of yesterday, I had in discussions with HP Engineering, who put the plans together. We're anticipating that this may come in around 80,000 instead of 100, so there may be some potential savings there. The next line item being,
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Did we not do, like 5 years ago, they did some work when they did the back of the arena? Or was that?
They did do the back of the arena, but not they had nothing to do with the side.
Was that not a complete engineering study on the building?
No, there wasn't. Not on the back end.
Thank you. It should be looked at the whole building, because it seems like it's coming back the roof, and then the back, and then the slab, and then the boards, and now the outside. And
well, the back, I can tell you, the back, the work at the back of the rink was done in 2012, so it goes back about 8 years now, and the study that was done on the side was probably three, four years ago, so they were not together.
Anyways.
Yeah.
It's just a comment, that's all.
The next line is trail development, and that is, I think that's just ongoing, really. There hasn't been a whole lot of more discussion with respect to that for this upcoming year or this current year, but that money I don't think really reflects or affects the budget this year, but there is money put aside there. Community services master plan, that is something that came out of the discussions with the strategic plan. And obviously we're getting closer to acting, I guess, on some of that strategic plan, and that was one of the things that came out of it, that we look at this community services master plan. So money was earmarked to potentially look at that for that particular report for 2021.
Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Does that or can we utilize modernization funding for that specific plan or no? Does that qualify for that?
I'm looking at the CAO and he is nodding. So I guess then if that's the case, it can come out of here and be included in the pot of money we have available for modernization.
Yes, it's my understanding we've identified the modernization money is still in the budget for 2021, but we haven't allocated it to specific projects, but we've carried it, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
But okay. Modernization is meant to provide efficiencies in the department, so installing technology or doing other sorts of work. So I wasn't sure that this particular plan was to find efficiencies. And if it is, then for sure it can come from the modernization money.
So, Councillor Holmes.
So, just a question. So, looking at our Howard Allen agreement, would that qualify to be looked at the Community Services Master Plan?
No, I don't believe that will jump into that whole analysis. That wouldn't be something that would just focus on that. I think you'd need to look at that in a separate time.
Mm-hmm. Deputy Mayor Minnelli. Oh, sorry.
On this plan, did the service delivery review not cover any of that?
No, this
and
is...
And you just had a master plan done that's on the shelf, right?
We completed a master plan can I respond?
Yeah.
Is that okay? We completed a recreation master plan in 2012, and it was to last 10 years, so it's still current, and will expire in the next couple of years. But this was something out of the whole strategic plan conversation that we had earlier this year that came about, and obviously it is going to be something that we're going to have to look at again. And it would focus solely on our recreation department and lead us to the next 10 years, basically. So a plan that will help us know where we're going for the next 10 years.
Thank you.
Councillor Holmes.
I guess I would just argue that if we're looking at recreation plan and the Howard Allen agreement does cover recreation for in terms of our mutual agreements with Beckwith and Carlton Place, I would think that it does indeed fall into there and should be considered in the whole situation.
John?
CAO Kelly.
Just with regards to a couple of points that are coming up. Your strategic plan, you've just approved, I believe, about maybe September 29th. There was a timeline included in that strategic plan that you adopted, as well as the priorities for them. So we've started to include those into the budget process so that you can actually achieve your strategic plan. So if the results of the budget process are that certain things that you've told us are the priorities are not going to be funded, then the strategic plan is going to be, or those pieces included in the strategic plan are going to be delayed. So just we'll put that out. We will come back after budget if there's things that have been removed or funding or supports that have been removed. We'll come back and we'll provide those adjustments to you or the impacts within the strategic plan. But the community services plan is a item that you identified as a priority. It was brought up during your discussions, and we've refined it into a project, and we put a cost and a timeline to it. So that's what's reflected here in the budget. With regards to the Howard Allen agreement, what the Community Services Master Plan is looking at is a long-term plan, like 10 or 12 years, to identify what services the community wants to see, There will be public engagement on those. The Howard Allen agreement is more of a mechanism for delivering the services. But you have to decide which services you're going to deliver first, which I think is one of the things that Howard Allen has expressed to you when he presented. It's a council decision what you want to do or what you want to provide as a service. The Howard Allen agreement is the mechanism to basically deliver upon it, the financial arrangement. You first have to decide what services you want to deliver. That's what the Community Services Master Plan is going to look at. It's going to look at libraries, it's going to look at daycare, it's going to look at recreation, it's going to look at culture, the number of events that you hold on an annual basis, the fields. People have talked about whether there's a pool to be built in this community. All of those things will be part of what you want to do as part of that Community Services Master Plan. But ultimately, it comes back to council to provide the guidance. These are the services we want to provide. These are the facilities we want to provide. Again, Howard Allen agreement to me is simply a mechanism once you've made that decision as council. You still have to make that decision.
Councillor Jordan.
Thank you. Actually, I think what CEO Kelly has just said answers it. My comment was going to be to Councillor Holmes with regards to the Howard Allen agreement. Why would we include it in our community service plan when we have no control over what happens with the Howard Allen agreement? I guess what CEO Kelly has just said basically says the exact same thing. That's a mechanism as to how it gets put forward, but it's not necessarily something we can control in our community service plan.
Any more questions? Go ahead.
So the next item on the list is ICE resurfacer overhaul. This is something that we need to needs to be addressed every 4 years, where we send our machine away for a complete overhaul. The one in Pakenham has not been done now for a few years, and it's time in the off season to send it away and get it fixed up, ensure it's operating properly. So that is definitely funding that we're going to need at the end of this ice season, because we have had nothing major yet, but there has been a few hiccups, and over time you have to obviously do the proper maintenance so it goes away and they overhaul it in order to keep them working for extended periods of time. And this is for the one in Pakenham. The next item on the list is the Almont Curling Club furnace. In our curling club facility, there is heat that has to take place in that facility. We have to keep our ice temperature at a set temperature, and we need there is furnace in that area, and that has now not been replaced for the last, I think, over 20 years, and it's time to replace that particular furnace. The Pakenham play structure. Now, this request came sorry.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
So you're telling me there's a furnace in the ice surface?
Yes, there is.
Arena?
Yeah.
It's for ice?
It's to keep the temperature consistent in that particular area. There is one in there right now.
Okay, thank you. Yep. They don't usually max ice and water.
No, but there is. Yeah. Any other questions? So Pakenham play structure. Now this request came forward actually as we started last year's budget process, or we were pretty well at the end of it. We do not have any play structures in Pakenham. So the municipality has not put any structures in any of our parks there. So what we've done or what the community uses there is, sorry.
Councillor Jordan. Microphone.
I apologize. I was going to make a comment. We had the daycare coordinator in earlier, and she said they're removing play structures due to regulations and putting in, was it rocks or more natural play structures? So I'm not sure.
Sorry, this was the daycare in Almont?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
They're removing the play structure due to regulations.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering if this is something that we need to look into more before we put money into it, because if they're removing it, I'm not sure why we would be putting one in.
Okay, so this is the play structure at the Pakenham School and their schoolyard that the community, I'll just finish off on what I basically was saying, we don't have a structure in Pakenham. So what we've done in the past is we've had an arrangement and help with some funding for this Pakenham School, because that is the play structure that the community uses. Instead of us putting in our own $60,000 structure, we helped with some funding probably about 7 years ago with some replacement work that they did. Now they are putting in a new structure, and they are looking for some help with respect to the funding, because that basically is our play structure, structure feature in Pakenham. So the request came in last year, and at that time I informed the school board or the parent teacher board that the budget had already gone through, but I would be bringing it forward for some discussion in 2021.
Okay, Madam Clerk, you want to interject in here?
Just to Councillor Girard's point from the daycare manager's presentation, daycares are required to follow a different piece of legislation than a municipality park or municipal park or a school. And it's not necessarily that they're not allowed to have play structures. It's just, I think, the more common practice now going forward is instead of investing in play structures for daycares, they're doing natural play, like
areas.
Logs and areas like that. But I don't, from my understanding, this wouldn't apply to a municipal park or to a larger school.
Thank you.
Councillor Gerard.
Thank you. I do understand that there would be a difference. My question again then would be, is this going to be happening in Fred Miller Park, or is this going to be happening on the school property?
It's going to be, it's to aid with the new structures they're putting in on the school property that the agreement is the public can use, because that is our structure in Pakenham.
So are not all school properties for the public?
Correct. But that is, yeah, that's the only one we have in Pakenham. So again, that's what, that's kind of the arrangement that we've had, and we've helped with the play structure features in that particular park. So that was the request for this year, was to help with the new structure that they're putting into place.
Madam Clerk, sorry.
Just again, to Councillor Gerard's point about all play structures in schools being public, some schools and municipalities actually close off their fences outside of school hours. And so I believe what Kelvin is saying in this arrangement is that the Pakenham Public School would not do that. So it would be open to members of the public outside of school hours. But there are instances where public schools or private schools will fence off their play areas so it's not open to members of the public. So I think this arrangement would allow members of the public to use it at any time. Probably not during the school hours, but maybe after hours. Yeah.
Councillor Gerard, is that good?
Thank you very much.
Councillor Ferguson.
Thank you. On that note, the school board have already went ahead and completed the playground for the schools over the summer, of course, in the anticipation of full registration coming back. But both of the playgrounds, the little toddlers at the front of the school and the larger one at the side, have totally been done over. And this is just a supplement to that. Was it fairly expensive? I don't know exactly what the costing was, but both very expensive, complete change of what they had before.
Yeah, and I guess just to add on that, last night after I spent the time in the arena, I took a walk over and had a look for myself. And I think there's still some work that needs to be done in there. It was dark when I went over, but and I got in no problem. So the gates were open. I had a look at the area, and yeah, there's a fairly large piece of equipment that hasn't been installed yet. I'm not sure what the timing is, but again, they're looking for some aid with respect to that, because that would be our piece of equipment. And it certainly, you know, alleviates us from having to look at putting play structures in other areas in Pakenham, because we do not have that feature in Pakenham. The next item on the list is the Almont Cenotaph fencing. Now, this came up at the beginning of this year where we've had some concerns with respect to, I guess, snowmobiles and whatnot crossing over and driving over the cenotaph and whatnot. There's currently no fencing in place. And they're coming off the OVRT and down and around. What we did last year is we put up some barricades with some signage into place, asking people to please respect and to not drive in those particular areas. I believe it helped to some extent, but we were looking at potentially putting up some fencing to, I guess, deter people or that were coming down in that area and doing that type of thing in that particular location. So that's what that funding was to be put in for. Any questions on that one?
I can speak to it a little bit. I think we could push that forward if need be. We could always put barricades up again this year.
We could certainly do that.
As long as we keep the snowmobiles away from them. I think Deputy Mayor Minnelli mentioned to me just the weight of the snowmobiles behind the actual monument is quite a risk. And it's important that one way or another we just keep them away from it.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
I really do think that the space needs it. I think a lot of the activity down there on snowmobiles was accidental. I think the space needs to be defined so they know that it's so.
Yeah, it was certainly, last year was the only time we've ever had issues with it. And you can see now with the OVRT where people would come down and cross in that area, so. The next item on the list is Mill Run Park. This year we focused on the Riverfront Estates Park and got that developed. Next year we have to work on the Mill Run Park. The detail plans are done and ready to go. We're hoping to have it out to tender early in the new year so that we can start the work in that Mill Run Park, and that is in behind the park area and behind the Tim Hortons. That would be our next big park that we're looking to get completed.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just one thing on that park. That's a huge park, eh?
It is a huge park.
And is there structures going in there?
There will be.
There will be, okay. Yeah it's acres and acres.
The next item on the list is Gemmell Park basketball court painting. This year, for those who are not aware, we were fortunate enough to get the basketball court in Gemmell Park was in major need of repair. This year we got it all repaved and we put in new nets, and it certainly cleans up that area very nicely, and it was long overdue. The only component we haven't got is the painting of the courts. And that money has been put aside to do that if we choose to do it next year to complete the project. The next item on the list is the parking lot lighting in the Almont Arena. And basically what that is in the evenings in the parking lot at the Almont Arena, it gets very dark. And when anybody is leaving the arena and goes into the parking lot to get into their cars, there's no actual light that shines into the park or the parking lot area. I can attest it is very dark when you go in there, and I think some sort of lighting should be put up along the side of the building, just helping with the overall lighting, just to help with that feature. It's not a huge amount of money, but something that needs to be done for safety. And the last item, and this is carryover from this year, is obviously the Riverwalk staircase work. I'm not sure if that was touched upon when Tiffany spoke, but that would just be the continuation of that particular project. It's already started. So those are my items for capital discussion this year, or this upcoming year.
Councillor Girard.
Thank you. Kelvin, with the new signage that we're putting up that's double-sided, that's going to be in front of the arena.
Okay, yes, the sign,
is there possibly going to be some light seepage from that?
Oh, no.
It's not going to affect the parking?
No, that wouldn't be nearly enough. Like, it's not going to be that close to the parking lot itself. What I'm talking about is putting something up alongside of the change rooms, the new addition that was put on, well, not new, 10 years now, but something that will shine out directly into the parking lot that will help with the lighting there.
And so the parking is going to be an issue for when people are using the facility. If you're only having one team at a time, they're pretty much going to be parking towards the light anyways. Is that correct?
Well, they're going to be parking in the parking lot, but I'm anticipating, I'm hoping COVID isn't going to last forever, and we're going to get back to some sort of normalcy, and the parking lot, like if you go in, like on a weekend, the parking lot is packed, so you need, you know, it's to light up that area or give more light when people are leaving the building in the evening and they could see when they're getting into their cars.
Okay. Councilor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Just back to benches. Tiffany also had $5,000 for benches.
Okay.
And I don't dispute the costings, but there is consistent. They will be all consistent, right? The design is consistent now with all our benches?
Couldn't be any more consistent.
Right. Good. That's good. And the lighting then at the rink, would that be included with the LED lighting as well as a project or a separate project altogether?
No, they were separate. Yeah. Like I wasn't talking about the signage at all. It was just to add some electrical work and adding some light features along that side of the building. That'll just help. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but there's a lot of kids and parents coming out of that building in the evening, and there's cars driving around, and I'm one of them with kids. And lighting, if you don't have enough lighting, somebody doesn't see someone, and I don't think $5,000, in my opinion, is nothing when you compare to an injury that could take place, and it's just a safety thing. It should be addressed.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
I guess I'll stick to the big one, Mill Run. Is there any, so you have anything coming out of the, I see reserves, is that just money we've put away or is that out of, what about development charges?
Yeah, so that project is fully funded this year. There's nothing coming from taxation. It's coming from reserves, which is money we put away in a previous year. I think it was from 2019, actually. And development charges,
$334,800. It's just that I thought there'd be more in DC charges.
Development charges you can only pull based on the amount, the percentage in the background study that can be funded. So if this project were twice as much, development charges would be in the same proportion. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's only a proportion.
Kind of, yeah.
So it's a proportion of the gross cost. So that's what I've done here.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilor Drake.
Thank you. Kelvin, due to the fact that we are possibly closing the curling club and due to the fact that a lot of people who use it are 60 or plus and now are not going to have an activity, have we thought anywhere forward as to something else that we can provide, like possibly using the curling club for a walking ring or doing something so that there's somewhere for those people to get out?
It's funny you bring that up because this week there has been discussion, actually last week, and I am working on something right now that we're hoping. Again, COVID is a moving target and with restrictions changing and I'm not sure where things are going to go. Nobody knows over the next couple of weeks, but I can tell you that there has been discussions with respect to turning that particular area into somewhere where not only seniors, but anybody that wants to walk and get some physical activity can go in and walk on the slab. The furnaces that we're going to hopefully replace will be turned on a little bit just to keep the warmth in, and people will be able to walk. It's not just a matter now of opening the door, right, and saying people come in. So we have to look at it. There's a screening process. There's everything that goes through it. So again, I'm looking into all those things now so that we can hopefully sometime in November when the weather gets a little cooler that we can have that option. And I think we've identified potentially three different times that we'll be able to open it. There'll be limited number of people that can come in again. But yes, so we're working on that as of this week. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, there'll be some information coming out. Once I have everything finalized, I will certainly email you all to let you know what's happening. But there has been discussion on that. So that's in the works. And I can tell you that I received a call from someone in the community that inquired and brought it up. I don't want to take all the credit for it because it was a senior group, and we've had discussions, and I thought it was a great idea. And I said, yes, we can look at that and see how we can make it happen. So we're working on that.
For the LED lighting, just for clarification and jog my memory, so there's a study.
I'm going to ask CAO Kelly, maybe, do you know anything more with respect to that? Maybe it wasn't a study, but there's an investigation of some sort that Dan Cousineau, I think, was working on, and I think you were involved, but I believe.
Well, what we have is the original Honeywell study, correct? So that was done in 2018 or 2019, before my time anyway. 17. As I recall, there was, I think the treasurer said she was going to look into the timeline, but I thought there was a payback of something like 3.5 years if we were to fund it. With regards to additional study, there are life-saving issues at these facilities that are the priority over the lighting in my mind. And that's what we have brought forward as part of this budget. There are things that have been pointed out, whether they were picked up in the past in investigations or annual reviews or not, they have been identified now. And what we've set aside for funding is to address the life safety issues. The lighting study, we had engaged in discussions with ORES, which is the Ottawa River Enterprise Services, I think it is, of ORPC. They do actually have a person who is skilled in conducting these audits. They had proposed a price to do this work. It was not insignificant in terms of a price to help us out on that. And given the life safety issues that were identified, the priority for 2021 was putting on addressing things like fire panels, areas under stairs that need that have been identified as issues, versus trying to install those lights. So we realize that there are cost savings down the road that can come with that, but we still have these life safety issues to deal with. And that's what we've put our focus on in 2021, is the life safety issues. So there is no additional study that is being done on LED lighting in 2021. We can pick that up again in 2022, but hopefully at that point in time, we'll have the life safety issues dealt with and we'll be able to invest in that. So that's been the approach that's been suggested. That's been the approach that's been discussed with the facility maintenance coordinator. And that's we've discussed, with Calvin. And if there's a direction of council to reprioritize away from life safety issues to LED lighting, we'll take that direction.
Okay. Any more questions for Mr. Murphy? Okay, thank you. So we'll recess for lunch and reconvene at 1 o'clock. Thank you. Okay, I got 1 p.m. and I'll call the meeting back to order. So I got page 147, correct? That's where you want to start?
Yes, that's right.
Operations in the library. Ms. Rowe?
Hi there.
Hi there. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Before I get into the operating budget, I just wanted to give you a very quick update on what's happening at the library. So I just did some circulation stats for September and was surprised to see that the library, our actual physical circulation, is at 82% compared to last September. So that was great to see. Our digital collection, which we're not surprised at, has increased. And so our overall circulation from September 2019 to September 2020 is at 91%. So that's good news. And the one thing that's just happened is we've been approved to hire somebody to do some STEAM programming at the library. So this is science, technology, engineering, art, math. And so this person will be running for teens and kids some robotics programming, circuitry, Arduino, all these things I don't know anything about, but he does. So I just wanted to let you know that we'll be starting this programming in November. That's it. So I have been told by Ron, I'm just going to go, so starting with the operating, I'm only going to talk about the areas that have had a big change, and just interrupt me if you have any questions. This has been approved by the board. We did it in July, and our goal was to be fiscally conservative, just knowing what's going on with municipality today, this year in particular. So, like I'm sure every department or most departments, there has been a reduction in our self-generated revenue. So that's fines and book sales, et cetera, and also room bookings. So what we're trying to do is we are going to put more emphasis on fundraising this year to hopefully help that along. But knowing that there's been a reduction in that area, we've also tried to be, as I said, only increase areas that we feel were absolutely necessary in our expenses. So the big area, really the only area, is the maintenance and cleaning. And that is really in total between it's in between Elmont and Pakenham. It works out to be $2,000. And that's just for things like disinfectant, sanitizer, and possibility of a deep clean necessary at the library. And the good news is that Rhonda already knew that amount was going to be necessary. We have decreased office supplies in both in Elmont, and the reason for that is that we purchased a photocopier last year, and that has saved us a lot of money in print in toner. So that's the big changes.
Go ahead.
So when Christine was mentioning that there was additional cleaning and sanitizing and all those things, like every other department is saying as well, I have included that in the COVID funding that I'm bringing forward. So that's covered off by that. So just to
it's perfect.
further comment on what she was saying there.
So any questions to this point? Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Fines, I see, Krista, Dina, are down, which is, I guess, good. But I, from that perspective, it doesn't bring in revenue. But I noticed last night, on I think it was the Ottawa Library Board, they're thinking of doing away with fines. Is that, does that balance off, in your opinion, or no?
So fines are, right now we are not charging fines just because of books. Every item that's returned has to be quarantined, so it's just impossible to charge fines. It is something that we haven't discussed at the library board, but it is starting to be something that libraries are doing. Obviously you have to, it will decrease your revenue in that area. So you really do have to make a focus on fundraising donations in order to compensate for that. The rationale behind it, really, the great thing is that some people particularly that cannot afford it, if they have an overdue fine, a family, they will not come back to the library. And so it really just ensures that the people, a lot of people that really need the services for a family, will continue to use it. So that's absolutely a great reason to get rid of fines.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, Councillor Maiden.
Perhaps you could speak to Council a little bit about our other sources of revenue, which looks like it they're increasing and are expected to increase.
So the
donations.
Have one. The Friends of the Library has started at the and last year, well, during COVID, they raised $2,000 on doing masks and I can't even remember the other, but they are always working on other ideas to raise money for the library. We've also just received, like I said, the STEAM program. I don't know if I mentioned that the Elizabeth Kelly Library Foundation just gave us a very generous donation to buy the supplies for the robotics and STEAM programming. So we are looking into sources like that now. Is Councillor Maiden, is that?
The things I'm hearing is the library board.
Okay.
Any further questions? Okay, and please continue.
Capital.
Capital is on page 21, starting on line 122.
Okay, so the first line is facility maintenance upgrades. So I had help from the facilities coordinator to come up with this number. This includes two items that I will discuss with Rhonda, because roof, the heat tracing, and a door repair, which works out to be at $5,000. We've actually started that work, so it'll be done this year. This budget was done in July, so things are moving along faster than we expected. But there is an Elmont door repair included in the $63,000. I'm just giving you a bit of information on that. $10,000 for some plumbing repair in Elmont. We keep having some backup issues, which needs to be addressed. HVAC equipment servicing for $1,500. And there is an $8,500 price tag on some fire alarm devices tied into alarm panel. And that was, so these were suggestions by the facility coordinator. We also have some other items such as furnace that have been carried over from last year, and windows, and mechanical assessment. The other line Any questions on?
For the plumbing problems you're having, is somebody keep coming back and fixing it and it keeps breaking?
Yeah.
Is it a service issue or library building infrastructure issue?
Building infrastructure, it's so they do have to take up the cement flooring, and it's something about just the way it was done originally that's becoming a big problem.
Okay, thanks. Ms. Ferguson?
I realize that the maintenance is specific to Almont, but have you addressed that issue at Pakenham with the doors?
It was fixed yesterday.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's very exciting.
And also at the same time, the moisture at the bottoms of the stair, and not at the bottom of the stairs, but outside the, has that been addressed or is that?
I know that Dan.
Dan did look into that last year, yep. And I can't remember what the outcome was, but I'll let you know.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, so the next one.
Sorry, Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
I know I'm maybe jumping the gun a little bit, but when it comes to repairs to the foundation and stuff, is it going to affect the addition to the library or?
It's just one that unfortunately, because even if we're hoping to renovate, but if we're there for 2 years, it just needs to be addressed. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Okay. The technology upgrades at $3,000, so that's approximately three new computers. We have over 25 computers plus tablets, but we try to do the every 4 year 25% replacement of have that in our budget. So we've done less this year, just knowing that we didn't have to, that we're hoping that we're being conservative and hoping that that will be okay. Furniture and equipment. This is part of our strategic plan was to improve infrastructure. So we are absolutely looking into, we are doing a space needs assessment for the Almont branch. But knowing that when we renovate, this will not include fixtures, it will not include shelving. So last year, the past 2 years, we've invested in new shelving at the Almont branch for the adult fiction. That's been the biggest area. And now this year, we're looking into moving into the children's area. So these are shelving for the children's picture books. And this, what this would do is really it transforms the space, because right now the picture books are in the middle of the kids section. And if we put it on wheels, if put it in this kind of mobile unit, we can actually start doing programming in that space. And programming, I'm sure you've heard it from many, programming space is such high demand. And so if we're doing baby time and story time every week, that means the meeting room can't be used by anybody else during that time. So if we have two spaces available, it'll just mean we have more, we can offer more to the community. And the accessibility project, that just keeps getting carried over. That is a door in the Almont branch.
Okay, any questions or comments? None? Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
What page did you want to start on?
Yeah, so I will start by looking at the council budget. So that can be found on page 50. There is very little change over last year. The only exception is the approval of funding for the mayor to be part of ROMA. So that's $5,000. And the other change is the membership fee to the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, and that was $135. And there's no capital for council.
Any questions on this area?
Okay, so next I'll move to the administration budget, page 55. So in my version of the budget, as I mentioned, you know, many times today, I have a lot of highlighted things. So there are sections that I need to go back and make sure that now that I have a little bit more actual information for 2020 and looking at the trend, that these numbers make sense. But the first biggest change is salaries and wages. So not only does that include any step increase that might be applicable to staff, a cost of living, but it also includes the communications officer that I mentioned at our first budget meeting on the 29th. The next biggest change is to other professional fees, and that one's really a hard one to predict. It's things like surveys, commissions on sales of land, things like that that go in there. So I will be reviewing that line item. It was to be sort of based on trend, but I think now looking at it again that it can maybe come down a bit. Computer services expense, the increase there is primarily for the annual fee for eScribe. We've talked a lot today about computer services expenses, and so that includes any hardware, any software that anyone in the clerk, the finance, or the CAO's office needs. It includes my support for the financial system, which is about $30,000 a year. So things like that, and any other, you know, new technological things that we might need to do that could be outside of modernization money. Advertising, you can see if you look at the actual to August, it's at 39,000, and actually to the end of September, it's almost at the budget, so that increases to better reflect the trend, but I also think it might be a little low. Those are really the main changes other than capital.
Councilor Ferguson.
Thanks, Ronnie. Yes, you're right. Computer services was addressed, I think, everybody. Have you got a breakdown between equipment and salaries out of that, or dollars rather, consulting fees, or no?
No, but I could come up with something.
It's just, well, I think you know the reason why I'm asking that
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
A part of the service delivery review and the strategic plan is to do an IT plan. Yeah. So I think that's going to better identify for us what actually our long-term needs are, not just for hardware, but for any programs as well. In the beginning, it's probably going to be, you know, maybe a lot, because there's a lot of things that we could do technologically to improve and to provide efficiencies. I know in my department, like, timesheets is one thing, but there's many others. And it's just getting that money for that investment in the programs. So I think that, you know, that long-term IT plan is going to help all of us as we move forward with IT needs.
Thanks. Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
You mentioned the communications officer was in here.
Yes.
The budget for it. Is that a decision of council to hire?
It's one still to be made. It was identified in the service delivery review. So it is the one that we put in. But if you recall on the 29th at our first meeting, I said that that position might get reallocated to something else, depending on your discussion about the service delivery review, which I understand you're having on October 20th. Yeah. So I think that's when you'll make the decision, possibly, about whether that is the position that stays, whether any position stays, whether this gets reallocated to something else that's a higher priority.
And just one more question. Should we mention communication officer in an open meeting?
It's not a person.
Yeah, it's not an identifiable person.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Maiden.
And it was my understanding that the responsibility for communications up until now has been split between several positions, economic development, the deputy clerk, and I think the clerk also does a fair bit of it too. So,
to be fair, every department does it, because every clerk or every department, like in mine, I don't have a specific clerk, but I do have a staff person that does all my updating to the web. So it's kind of being done by multiple people, which, you know, you lose consistency that way. So, you know, it's to be discussed. But, you know, from a communications point of view, it would be nice to have, you know, the same look and feel for everything that we send out. And yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if the clerk wants to say anything else.
Yes. I echo what the treasurer says. Right now, I would say the heavy lifting is done by the clerk's department and by Tiffany McLaren. However, each department does do their own updating to the website and some of the newspaper articles. It does create sometimes, like the treasurer saying, lack of consistency, not overly proactive. Everyone's sort of doing it off the side of their desk. So if really looking into community engagement and getting a more robust communications plan implemented here is a priority for this council. Realistically, to do that, we would need a dedicated person to focus on communications.
Any further questions? Okay, please continue.
So now I'll move on to capital, which can be found on page 18. So the very first line is the modernization projects, and I've identified a few there. So the electronic timesheets is one, and the digitization strategy is another. What I've done here, just as a placeholder for now, because we're still moving through things with service delivery and strategic plan, so some other items may fall into modernization, but that is the balance from the original funding that we got of $620,000, I believe it was, or somewhere in that neighborhood, less what we've already spent on the service delivery review. So that's the remainder. If we don't spend it in 2020, it will still be there to use in 2020. Or sorry, if we don't spend it in 2021, it will still be there for 2022. There's no expenditure deadline on that particular pot of funding. And the other item, again, I might refer this to the clerk. It's for electronic records management. So that's digitization of our records from paper to electronic. But maybe I'll let the clerk give a bit more description.
Yeah, so this was a project that was flagged quite a while ago. And over the years, council through their budgets have added funding to this project. What it would do, or what we would see, is that all of our records would be scanned in. That includes our archived records, that includes all paper records currently housed here. And then going forward, all records, instead of being printed off and put in a file, would be classified electronically. This would make it way easier for example, fulfilling Freedom of Information requests, finding information, tracking, all of the above. It is definitely something that would is a best practice in clerk's departments across Ontario for proper records management, because really proper records management is a very, it might be dry and a bit boring, but it is an integral piece of the history and the health of our corporations, or our corporation.
Councillor Ferguson.
Thank you. Again, can I assume that this would be a candidate for modernization funding as well?
You know, as I was sitting here and Jean was speaking, possibly we had put, I believe it was $100,000 we had set aside for this work, and we were doing it over 2 years, which is why you only see half here. Let me think about that one, and if it is, then we could reallocate that reserve money to some other work that's needed.
Do you want to continue on that? Go ahead.
Comment on it. You wondered, I guess, before if there's going to be money left over out of the modernization for next year. I think by the look of it, we're probably going to be looking for more of it if that's the case. But we've already identified a couple other ones, so I can only assume that that funding is going to be absorbed fairly quickly with the projects that we've already identified, plus what you have on the on line two, right?
Possibly, quite possibly.
CAO Kelly.
Maybe just for the benefit of council as well. I don't know if you recall, but this is a part of a four-year program that the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing has put out. It's valued at about $125 million. So far, this money that we have here wasn't part of the $125 million, and they're actually going to be doing application stages, intake phases, they call them, for that municipal modernization program coming up. Now, I think COVID has thrown a little bit of a wrench into their timeline, but they were expecting all of the service delivery review projects. So similar to what we've already done, they were expecting those to be done in June. They recently extended that deadline into December. So they're not expecting to get the outputs from those projects at the municipalities until December. So I would expect there will probably be, you know, some period of review or evaluation. But then in the spring, we should see another intake. So, like I said, their idea was that the $125 million is going to be staged over the next 4 years to help municipalities. So as we identify these modernization projects, we should be keeping in mind the intake phases that are coming up and, you know, making our applications as part of those. But, of course, we can't count that money before it's approved, so or given to us. But it's there. It's an opportunity.
Thank you. Go ahead.
If there's no more questions about administration, I'll move to admin buildings. That's found on page 60.
Which page again?
60.
60.
Just one thing before you turn the, on Capitol here. I see the stone walls again up for repair.
I'm going to be talking about that just a second.
Sorry.
Okay, so there's not a lot of change in, so Tiffany already touched on the town hall, so I'm not going to go over that again. So the municipal office and the registry office, there's very little change. The biggest change is to rentals and maintenance for this facility. It's always kind of we're not really sure what's going to break down. It is an older building. Earlier this year, I believe it was, we had our pump issue. Was it earlier this year, Ken? The pump issue, or was that last year? Yeah. Yeah, so you never know what's going to break. But having looked at where we're at in 2020 and the trend, I think that number could maybe be adjusted, and it's one of the ones that I have identified for review. And as I mentioned before, I'll be looking at all the insurance numbers as well to make sure everything's consistent. So there's nothing else in operating that I want to point out unless anybody has any questions.
Questions? No? Carry on.
So all of the work in capital on page 18 is carry forward work from the 2020 budget. None of it has been completed, so municipal office, 28,000. So it's all going to be put into reserves, and same for the registry office, 5,000. But what I want to point out, and I think you've heard multiple times over the last few days, is about how much work needs to be done at facilities. And I know the service delivery review is, has asked or recommended that the facility coordinator position be changed so that they're more of a facility manager. What happens is the work doesn't end up getting finished in facilities because there's, like in this building, there's no dedicated person to look after things, so they tend to just not get finished. I just wanted to point that out as you're discussing that report, that, you know, that is something to consider. There is over $1 million in this budget in capital alone that's related to facilities. So you'll be discussing that report again on the 20th, but I just wanted to highlight that. Questions? No questions? Okay, so then I still have two more. I have police, which is on page 71. So at our first meeting on September 29th, I did not have the contract estimate for the OPP. But I did receive it after that meeting, and I've adjusted. So the expected increase there is 10,436. The only other change I made is to honorariums. Honorariums is for those members of the committee who attend meetings. They get paid an honorarium each year. That could potentially come down. I don't know if there will even be any meetings depending on the COVID situation, and I know they haven't met in quite some time. So there's a potential that that amount could be reduced. There is no capital for police. And then the last area that I'm going to touch on in terms of a budget is the protection budget, page 74, 75. The first line is the grant to the MVC, so I've increased that estimated at 3%. I don't know. I haven't been given any sort of update as to what that number might be. I do think it is a little high, though, when I look at what we actually paid in 2020. So again, that is one that I'll be reviewing to make sure that we're taking 3% over the actual and not 3% over last year's budget. So I think that number can come down somewhat. What else has changed here? Everything else is sort of just cost of livings, 2% increases. One thing that I have to get more information on is under emergency management. The fire chief added emergency control operations for $3,500. And I apologize, I didn't speak to him before coming up here today, and so I'm not exactly sure what that $3,500 is for, but I will clarify with him. I'm not sure if the CAO has any other, through the emergency management meetings, if you have any other. No?
Okay. Nothing that I think.
Okay. And again, there's no capital for protection.
Questions?
Okay.
Councillor Maiden.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli had brought up the possibility of having our own bylaw services. Has any discussion gone around what that would cost?
We actually were just talking about that at our senior management team meeting yesterday. Recognizing that we do need to do some work there to determine whether we stick with the contract or we do some other, but I'm not sure when that'll be coming forward.
hoping to have that report sometime in November for council. I think we have that, and I think the waste management contract is one that we're working on in terms of the financial analysis. So both are currently external, and I think you're looking for information on what it would cost to do them internally. So we're working on those to bring forward. So they will be part, or you will have that information for your deliberations here at budget.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the treasurer? Okay, was there anything else you wanted to?
Okay, so just review again what changes were made following Tuesday's meeting. So that was, we cut out $133,000, which was for a truck in transportation, the tow vehicle in fire. We added maintenance back for that vehicle that we're not replacing because it needs some work of $2,000. And we cut out the groundwork for the training center for $10,000. We still have a long way to go. I have heard from counselors today, and I took lots of notes about what information needs to come back to you from staff. Also hearing, like, I don't think there's a lot of support for that vehicle, that other brush vehicle in fire. But what I mean, we can debate and discuss the budget this afternoon, that's fine. But what I think maybe is the better approach is for this to be sent back to staff to come up with a list of suggested changes, keeping in mind that I'm also going to be reviewing each operating budget in further detail now that I have more up-to-date actuals for 2020. I'm also working on forecasting to the end of the year. I need to do that for COVID-related reasons, but then I'll also have a better idea of spend to the end of the year. And I can bring back to you further cuts, suggested cuts. We're not going to do them. We're going to put them before you to decide, and ways that we can balance the budget, if that's okay with council.
Councillor Ferguson.
Thank you. Did you also include in your list, Rhonda, the $20,000 that Calvin spoke about, the wall in Pakenham?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have any preferences if council has questions? Would you like to meet in person individually or pairs or just emails?
Either. It doesn't matter to me. If you'd like to meet with me, that's fine. If you'd like to email, it's fine. Okay. If you'd like to call me, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll make myself available.
Councilor Ferguson.
Thank you. Should we at this time then be giving, I guess, some, not guidance, Robin, to obviously, because it doesn't mean that, but what we feel is a percentage, or do you want us, you're just going to do that? Because as you're well aware, it's up there that it's not going to be the way it is now, that's for sure. So
originally,
should we give you a guideline?
Yes, sorry.
Variable?
Originally, I thought that was what sort of direction that I needed today, but now I think my preference is to go back and see what I can do and then ask or sort of advise what rate increase we might need if it's over and above 3. Okay. Keep in mind, too, that there's really very little transfers to reserves in this budget, and I think I've identified, and we've talked about it enough, that the reserves are deficient. I don't know if there is an opportunity in this budget with, you know, the shortfall that we have to add anything further, but it's something that we should consider as we move forward.
Mayor Lowry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I chatted with a couple members of council just on, do we provide you a range of percentages or what do we do from here? And having gone through all the presentations with the staff, I think I'm of the mind of have staff further refine this. Like there's quite a few things as we went through that I could see that you were noting. And
yeah.
I think we provided pretty strong feedback on a number of items. I think one of the biggies is identifying what's critical from the fire, mm-hmm. The fire department, but also some of the recommendations in other departments as well from fire. And I think, you know, identifying what is critical and what could be phased in over a number of years, I think would make quite a large impact here as well. So personally, I think I'd feel more comfortable knowing what those priorities are, and then we can make some decisions to get to a percentage that, you know, council's comfortable with. But to me, I feel like there's still too many questions of knowing actually what is critical, what's essential to have done in 2021 versus what could be phased in over a number of years.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
I was just going to say you did take a lot of notes and you have a kind of sense of council, and you're comfortable bringing the budget back and mm-hmm. working with the directors?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Holmes and Councillor Maiden.
Thank you. The one thing we really didn't touch on was the downtown revitalization. And,
yes.
And I think, you know, we need to have some discussion around that because that has quite an impact on our
yes.
budget.
So if you're okay to wait until the next meeting in November, I will make sure that the acting public works director is here because I can't answer questions specific to the project. All I can answer is how to pay for it sort of thing. You know, that's...
Councillor Maiden.
I talked to the treasurer a little bit about forecasting based on this year's actuals and so forth, and, you know, depending on whether there's still commitments coming in from August 31st, and of course there are, but I got anywhere from, you know, like a $3 million surplus to a $300,000 deficit, but we don't know what that's coming in at. And in talking about any surpluses that have been generated, and she tells me that we've never generated a deficit in any year. Usually those surpluses go, I guess, into the reserves for each department. But I'm wondering if we should try to set a target for putting money into reserves of X percent, you know, just to think about that that would be known to each department every year, that we want you to start putting money away for things, not relying on development charges and that sort of thing, and work that into our long-term financial plan. That's all I had.
Okay. Councillor Gerard.
Thank you. I think exactly what Councillor Maiden just said. I think it's all great and grand to look at what we have sitting in front of us right now, but we don't know what's going to happen next year. So I think we have to be a little bit proactive, and I understand the staff will be going through all of this, but I'm thinking that we as a council have to actually start thinking about the fact that the government's spending money. We just got a report that the government's spending money so fast that we don't know where the money might come from. So we're going to have to really start to look after ourselves. So as Councillor Maiden said, maybe we should be looking at asking the staff to also look into putting some money into reserves. Maybe a project that they want to do, we can look at doing over 3 years and start putting money away for 3 years. So that's it. Thank you.
Councillor Ferguson.
We still have the results of a plan and a consultant's report to address yet. And am I correct in saying it's the 20th we'll be addressing that? Because those two items could obviously address some additions to the budget. I don't assume it would address deletions, but I can assume it would address potential additions. So will those two be discussed on the 20th? Any ramifications specifically to that?
I'll take that one, Ms. Whitmarsh, Treasurer. Yes, so we're just trying to map in the what's coming forward on the 20th is a staff report, basically the staff's plan for implementation, so an implementation timeline and the costs associated with that and our recommendations. And yes, there's there's an overlay or kind of bringing together of strategic plan, the timeline that's associated with those projects, those 13 things, the recommendations that came out of the service delivery review, and then, of course, our interpretation or our view on what is the priority and what needs to be put in place first. So that is October 20th. That will come forward. That will have dollar figures attached to it. It will also have a timeline attached to it. So you should be able to interpret what is going to be the impact in 2021. And based on your direction, then we can include that into the next version of the budget.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. Welcome. Yeah.
Any, excuse me, any further questions? If we move forward, we touched on D2, D3, D4. I believe we're all in agreement of moving that forward to the next, did you say the 24th? If that's okay with everybody? Go ahead.
The fees and charges, if we don't do it till 24th, it's getting kind of tight for me to give notice and have the bylaw passed. I'm wondering, unless there's something else that needs to be considered there, if we could at least pass that one.
Okay, comments on that? Mayor Lowry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'd be happy to move this if that's the wish of council. I did have one question, though, for you, Rhonda, just about the administration fee for the online payments using a credit card. I was a little surprised to see $5,000. Wow. I was a little surprised to see $5 a transaction, not $5,000, sorry. I think normally you see $2.50 or $3 or something like that. But on the flip side, I'm wondering if this is... It may be that it's a little bit different for us as a municipality versus a vendor. And I'm just wondering if you could comment on that, because that one did jump out at me.
Right. So this is a new fee, and we're trying to recover some of the the discount that the bank takes, or the fee that they take from having Visa and MasterCard transactions. Because we don't at this time know the volume that we will have, we're trying to balance those that are higher amounts versus lower amounts, and trying to, you know, recoup enough of that service charge. So that's how we arrived at the $5. Thought that was a reasonable amount.
Okay. I am happy to see that we're going to be able to do the online payments.
Yeah, I think that's going to be very beneficial for residents. Yes. Yeah, but something they've been asking for.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But on the flip side, I mean, we can't eat the part that MasterCard or Visa wants to take on that. So, but anyway, I'd be happy to move it if you'd like, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so just for clarification, you're on page 170? Okay. D2, so the recommended motion that Committee of the Whole recommends that Council approve proposed changes to the 2021 fees and charges, and the public notice be given to Council's intention to pass the 2021 fees and charges by bylaw. A seconder for that motion, please. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, discussion? No questions or comments? All in favor? That's carried. So the other two, D3, D4, we're okay for the next meeting on the 24th. And that takes us to adjournment. Mover and seconder, please. Councilor Ferguson, Councilor Gerard, all in favor? We are adjourned at 1:48. Thank you.